Welcome to the PMPA's Speaking of Precision podcast, featuring your hosts, Carly Kistler-Miller, David Wynn, and Miles Free.
Hi, I'm Carly Kistler-Miller, and welcome to PMPA's Speaking of Precision podcast. Miles Free and David Wynn have joined me today, and we are going to discuss sales. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Welcome, Miles. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you, Carly.
Thank you, Carly.
So, this is actually an article I wrote for Production Machining magazine, and it came from a conversation I had at our chapter meeting, our Northern Ohio chapter meeting. Because, well, let me back up the bus a little. So, beep, beep, beep. I bet Joe could put in a better sound. Let me ask you this. How many shops or suppliers can make a call, just one call, and land a new customer? I got the stats on this. How many?
Not very many.
Unless there's an emergency, I don't think there's 10%.
No. All right, I fibbed. It's got to be zero. I mean, it's got to be zero. We've got big ticket items here. We're not selling, you know, $10, $20, even $100 items, right? We are selling big ticket items, and Joe Schmo is not going to be able to walk in the door cold or make a phone call cold and just sell it unless what?
Unless you're Jim Preston. That's the only person I know that's pulled that off.
Jim can
all right.
do it.
Jim as the exception, and I'm sure there's a few more out there, but as a general rule, you're not just going to be able to walk in and sell it, no matter what your product is or your service. It could be the biggest, the best, you know, knocks everybody else out of the park. I believe that it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You need to create a relationship.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I don't think that selling is about selling. It's not about...
All right. For those of you who can't see through this this oral format of ours...
Audio.
He's actually flapping his hands to denote speaking.
You can't just speak at people. Really, there's a lot more to selling, and it starts with understanding.
And that's where, Dana Kalchoff from Comturn Manufacturing in Cleveland, he and I had started talking about sales because PMPA is actually actively looking for a salesperson. So we were talking about that, and he told this great story about the National Acme Company and Henry Ford. So he said Henry Ford had come to Cleveland to meet with National Acme because he needed some screw machines, and he desperately needed the equipment, but he didn't have the money. And, I mean, can you imagine what that conversation's like? Oh, I really need these very expensive machines, but I don't have the funds for them right now. Well, National Acme apparently believed in Henry Ford's vision because they gave him the machines he needed. And he was so appreciative that the Ford Motor Company bought their screw machines exclusively from National Acme, and the relationship proved to be very profitable over time for both of them. So that was about a relationship that was built, and it sounds like Henry Ford did a heck of a job, but National Acme saw the potential there.
That's very interesting. And, you know, you talk about unintended consequences. I spent a lot of time as a steel support tech rep in auto plants. And like you said, Ford only saw Acme's. Visteon, you know, only saw Acme's. But even Rochester Products, which is a division of GM, Delco, Delphi, they were running National Acme's too. So if it's good enough for that guy,
You know, that's a heck of a sales pitch, yeah. Yeah, we're exclusive to Ford. Ford trusts us, trusts our machines. So I like that. That's a good pitch.
Yeah, I truly, in my automotive days, I saw National Acme's in the auto plants.
I believe it. And then Dana, and I'm going to quote him because he put it so well. He said, quote, "The relationship between a shop and a supplier is like a marriage. If you keep working at it, it can last a long time."
It can last a lifetime.
Right. Right? So right. This isn't, you know, I'm not going to do the age thing, but people who are new to sales probably think, oh, I can pick up a call and sell this. No problem. Instantly. No problem. I can just walk in and do that. But you need to build a relationship. Dave, what's been your experience with salespeople?
You know, in my time in sales, it really was about relationships. If you weren't there consistently, and it was the service you provided, the insight you could give the customer into what they were buying and how you could help them through the process and how you could make their life easier. And that's really what our industry sales is about. You can't just go in and sell precision machine parts and walk out with an order today. It's not like selling Ticonderoga pencils. You know, it's a totally different environment.
Well, and thank you for that segue, because when I was writing this article, I talked to Claus Miller at Absolute Machine Tools, and he said, sales in this industry isn't all about expecting to sell something each time you walk in the door. Rather, what you should expect to be doing daily is supporting, resourcing, and problem solving for your customers.
That's
it. That's exactly what you're saying. You become that resource, that problem solver for them, and that develops, what's that magic word?
Trust.
Let me tell you, it's the people that are in the door and answering your questions are the ones you buy things from because of that trust.
You know what's interesting, David, is there's a presumption behind that statement. And so I'm going to ask what may seem to be at first an off-color question, but what's the most important part of a salesperson's body?
I don't know where we're going with this one.
I know. Their ears.
Exactly right. Exactly right. They listen. They listen to understand.
Miles I never know.
I've learned to speak Miles' ease. I knew where he was going with that one.
Yeah.
But you're right.
No, that's fantastic.
Listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're there to preach, if you're there to tell, no sale.
Right.
Right? The cash register hits no sale. On the other hand, if you're there to listen, learn, feel what they're feeling, that will help you understand their issues and help you, with their help, to arrive at a solution that is win-win.
I think Miles will like this. This is a mathematical representation of that. I think the complexity of what you sell, like precision machine parts, there's a direct correlation with the complexity with the amount of listening you do. And I think that a salesperson needs to listen probably about 80% of the time and only be telling about 20% of the time.
Well, and I'm not even talking about selling our parts. I'm talking about the suppliers who are selling to our shops that, you know, they're walking in selling. How much would an order of steel be? Roughly. I mean, like an expensive car?
Yeah.
A high-end car?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Probably two expensive cars.
Probably.
So would you expect to be able to call somebody and say, hey, I have this very expensive item that I know you need, but you should just buy it for me?
Right. Yeah, that's...
It's not going to work.
Well, no. And, you know, in today's world, we have quality systems. I mean... People have to be understanding of what, like you said, trust. Trust that what you're suggesting they buy actually will meet their needs. That it is, in fact, the real thing, bona fide. And
and they're going to have the needs that day. And then over time, the needs are going to change, and you will have already proven...
That's exactly right.
...that you can provide the service and the quality and the delivery, et cetera. So that's
and
why
on
I
the machine tool front, it's that service after the sale. It's being able to contact somebody and say, hey, I'm stuck. I've got this weird alarm. I don't know where. And instead of just being like, well, go look in the manual, figure it out on your own, being able to respond and have that person that can help you and walk you through, that's a fantastic thing, because sometimes it's in the manual, but then it gives you this weird explanation like, the spindle's stopped. Okay, well, yeah, I know that. Give me some help here. Where do I go from here?
You know, shame on us if our help materials are no better than Mr. Google.
Yeah, exactly.
Could
right.
Be Mrs. Google.
Mrs. Google does a better job than Mr. Google. I'm sorry, Carly, but Mr. Google stands.
I'm going to start Wrong. Using Mrs. Google. She does a better
job. Oh, we are
job.
Not going down this rabbit hole. Actually, I'm going to jump on your shirt tails here, because you bring up an excellent point that Miles and I talked about, which is the human aspect of a salesperson. Miles, you want to tell them what your thinking was?
Yeah, so one of my favorite intellectual authors was Norbert Wiener, and he talked about the human use of human beings. And with all this push about AI right now, the fact is AI cannot do human things. And sales is about building that trust, that human connection. And nobody can do that like humans.
Except That's right.
Maybe a good dog. Maybe a good dog.
Okay, so here's devil's advocate. AI is coming down the pike. How is AI going to play into this?
Well, it gave you and me both a laugh the other day. We got a reply to something, and the reply was obviously AI. And how do I know? Well, when I clipped out that reply and put it in Word and did the readability statistics, it was grade 17.2. That's 5 years post high school. Now tell me.
Need a master's education?
How
I've got, you know, I mean, these were words even I would be ashamed to use, right? 5 years post high school, the formality, it was a train wreck.
Yeah.
And it was so obvious. It was just on its face. It was like, okay, this person just, you know, talked to AI and here's your reply. It's not effective. It instantly gets discounted. It's not convincing, and it's not trustworthy.
Well, and how many times, so these bots are on everybody's website, right? You don't get a person anymore. You ask a question. It could answer factual things.
Right.
But like Dave said, when you are having that problem and you need somebody to call, do you want to go to a bot, or do you want to pick up that phone and call the person that you know knows you, knows your situation, and will be able to help you quickly? Because Miles, is when machines are down, is that good or bad?
At how much dollars per hour times how many hours? It's not good.
I'm going to go with bad. Yeah. So the faster you can get the right answer, it's not going to be AI.
And by the way, it needs to be trustable answer.
Credible,
that's right.
Which is what you've built up over time with that human-to-human relationship.
Absolutely.
Because, Miles, what do you say?
AI cannot out-human humans.
I love it. It's so true. It's so true. Even though we are trying to build a bot of our own. But that's just going to spit out facts.
Well, his name is David.
We'll
right.
have his little bearded visage
David's
on the front of it.
You're going to put my little fat man emoji on the website.
Stop.
So really, Carly, I think your title is really important, and I think we want to get the significance of that. In that your title is, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And I think that really diagnoses the problem that we see in sales, people with this short-term focus, mm-hmm. this focus on the sprint. What can I get this month, this deadline, this quarter, this? And we're using the wrong elapsed time. We're using the wrong stopwatch.
Exactly, because there are quotas, okay? Everybody gets quotas. We got to get so many parts out in so much time. We need to sell so much time on the machines. we need to sell so much steel, so much brass, whatever. We've all got quotas. But the good salesperson is going to see that those quotas are going to be met so much easily, so much more easily, so much. Boy, yes. My grammar stinks today.
Granddad wasn't
rapidly.
Too bad either.
If they build that relationship, yeah, the orders will just start rolling in.
I think it's that sprint versus marathon. It's like the sprint is the sleazy used car salesman. And then you move on and you've got the marathon, and that's your good relationship builder. You know, they know your kids' names. They know what you want to go to lunch to. They know about you, not just there to sell your business. They really build an actual relationship with you.
I'd like to share one experience I had. I work with a steel salesman, and he was, I like to think of him as the great, if you were to characterize a great steel salesman, this person was the great salesperson. And he was always working on developing new accounts. He said that I need 10% new accounts just to keep up with the attrition, whether the purchasing agent left, whether they reorganized, whether the company got bought, whatever. So it really is a marathon in that you can't just look at the end of your feet. You've got to be looking at the course ahead and planning that. And that's that anticipation, I think that's a key to successful management, but it's certainly a key to successful sales as well. It's not just dealing with the problems in the moment. It's actually building a plan to win that long race.
So, Dave, you have experience with sales and dealing with salespeople and all that good stuff. We're talking about the salesperson and their plan, but a lot of times the quotas are set by somebody else, and there's a need to have realistic quotas, right, to give them the time to build up those relationships.
There really is. You've got to look at forward-looking indicators, you know, like how many new contacts are you making? How many calls are you making a week? How many touch points are you making with existing customer bases? I think that's where the keys are. Is it's not necessarily in the beginning how many dollars you're bringing in, but are you doing the right things to build that case for the long term?
I like it. So you build a relationship, you earn the trust, and you can win that race. And that wraps up today's podcast on Sales is Not a Sprint, It's a Marathon. Thank you for joining us.
For additional information, please visit pmpa.org, where you can find our knowledge centers filled with articles, webinars, more podcasts, and other resources for precision machining.
Yes, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss one. Plus, check out our Speaking of Suppliers podcast, where we talk to PMPA technical members and learn how they can help our shops.
And if you aren't already taking advantage of a PMPA membership, be sure to check out PMPA.org and learn how we can help you thrive. And why is a PMPA membership important, Miles and Dave?
Because we are better together.
Don't forget to join us next Monday on Speaking of Precision.